Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
The new screensavers is brought to you by Braintree. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with one easy integration. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/NSS. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/NSS and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with this limited time offer. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more.
Apple unveils the iPhone 7. The PlayStation 4 gets an upgrade. And capture it all with the Samsung Gear 360 camera. Live from the Twit Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
Welcome to the Screensavers. Ron Richards, I thought you moved away.
I'm back. I came back just for this.
That's so awesome, Ron XO.
They said we need you back on Screensavers. I hopped on a plane, came right over.
Bravo. So, yep. You'll see him on All About Android on a regular basis. Yep. And it's wonderful to have you in studio.
It's good to be back. I love the new digs. Everything's looking great.
Yeah, love's a big word. I would say... They're nice.
I was impressed.
What's funny is we dragged everything along with us.
If you had knocked me out and woke me up, I would not know I was in a different building. No. But it's a great facility.
Yeah,
you should
be
proud.
Very happy of it. It's much more effective for us than that old big old warehouse we were in. Hey, we got a great show for you coming up. We're going to talk about the Apple announcements with somebody who was there, who actually touched the new iPhone. Also, Sony is had an announcement. Good timing, Sony. Right after the Apple announcement, Sam Mashkevitz, who is an expert on gaming for Ars Technica, he's going to talk about what the new Sony PS4 lineup is and what it means that Mario's coming to the iPhone.
It's big.
We're also going to answer some Android questions because when you get Ron in studio, you got to do some Android questions and another round of Game of Geeks. This time it's our trivia round. You got to come for that.
I would like to. I am a fan
it's
of the
so
trivia.
So much fun.
I had fun when we did the New Year's Eve show and we did the trivia game. I had a blast doing that. So
It's really fun. Well, you know, you could play along the home version of our game. Yeah. Frederick Van Johnson will take a peek at his peak. I wish we had a home version of it. And Jason Howell has that new, there's another 360 camera.
The Samsung 360. I really want to see what Jason did with that because I'm very curious about
it. I have one, but I got a little problem. Yeah. I had to give my Note 7 back. By the way, I wasn't going to because I had the one that said made in China.
Right, yeah. We talked about this week in Google.
And I was hoping that was going to mean I didn't have to bring it back.
Right.
And then I started reading like airlines, like Qantas said you can't get on the plane with one. Yep. I just talked to somebody who flew out here to Cincinnati, Ohio. He was on United. United said at the gate, yep, if you have a Note 7, you may not leave it in your luggage. You can't put it in the belly of the beast. Yep. You have to bring it with you and absolutely no charging.
Can't turn it on.
And then we're going on a cruise ship. I'm going to have to charge that phone, right?
Yeah.
I thought if I burn the cruise ship to the waterline, I don't want to be...
Although, but if you have the Samsung 360 camera, maybe it captures
get a good video
the explosion in full VR.
Anyway, I bought mine online from T-Mobile. Okay. It was super easy to bring it back. They gave me full dollar back. They just charged because I used a credit card. They just reversed the charge. So that was easy. Yeah. The problem is Samsung hasn't said when the replacement phones are going to be in stock.
I wonder how many people are bringing back that phone and walking out with new iPhones.
That's what I think. I think this couldn't be worse timing. Samsung says they sold 2.5 million. The estimated chargeback cost to them is about $1.5 billion. Not to mention
damage to their reputation, and I think damage in a way to lithium-ion batteries in general. This is the second biggest scare we've had this year after the hoverboards.
And I feel like this is, I know you're seeing, you can't now check lithium-ion batteries in luggage on airlines just across the board. If you have a large number of batteries, they have warnings at the check-in gate, you can't take them on the plane. It's, you got to question whether lithium-ion is safe at this point.
Well, anything that holds a lot of juice and power is not. You know, I'm driving a car with a ton of lithium-ion batteries.
That must be propelled by
strapped
it.
Strapped to my behind. So, you know, I have to hope that they're safe. And Samsung made a mistake. To their credit, they're doing exactly the right thing. The problem is if that's your phone and you bring it back,
what do you get?
They don't have a replacement phone. What they're doing is they'll offer you a Galaxy S7, or you can have a similar phone loaner. And then we don't know, but in a couple of weeks, T-Mobile said, you know, it's going to be soon. Samsung hasn't said yet. They'll have a new Note 7. And by the way, look for the sticker on the box with an S on it. That means it's safe.
Is that what they're doing?
Are
they
yes.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
They said only 1 in 32,000 has this flawed battery.
Right.
What's the math, though? If you have 2.5 million and 1 in 32,000 could blow up or likely would blow up, that's way too many. So they did the right thing. They took them all back. And it's, you know what I'm going to do? I said, give me the cash because I'm going to buy, of course, an iPhone 7, right? David Pogue is with us. We love David Pogue, everybody's favorite Mac journalist. He, of course, was at the New York Times for many years, then at Yahoo Tech, where he continues to write and do wonderful videos for CBS Sunday Morning and many other places. Multiple Emmy Award winner. Hey, David.
Hello.
So you came, you're home now, but you came out for the Apple event.
I did indeed.
Yeah.
How many of those have we been out there for?
Well, you've been out there for more than me. But, yeah, it's been going on.
You know, Leo, there's been an enormous turnover at Apple PR.
I could probably call them. No.
Katie Cotton's gone. You know,
I know. It wasn't Katie. It wasn't Steve. What happened, and this would happen to anybody who just didn't go for a few years. They just stop inviting you after a while. And I know I could call them and say I want to go. But what we do is I stay here and we watch the video. Since they started streaming video for the last few years, I haven't felt the need to go. But you do have one advantage going. You get the demo room.
That's right.
Yeah.
The all-holy demo room. Yeah.
So tell us about it, because I have a few concerns.
I mean, we have to admit that the days of, you know, massive, cool, game-changing new features, you know, is over. There's no, we have Siri now. We have an app store now. I mean, those huge game changers are over. Now it's a race of increments. It's,
right.
You know, a little better camera, a little faster processor, and so on.
And that's true for everyone. It's true for Samsung, too.
But
exactly. But I feel like while we know that, the public's expectation is to have the world change with this announcement.
Right.
You know, just hearing from the guy who cut my hair alone, he's like, oh, I got to watch that keynote. You know, the fans want it to the world to change with these announcements.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like this for a few years now, so eventually they'll stop, you know, is it there yet?
So the 7 it's normally a TikTok cycle, and this would be the update of the design. This isn't much updated. First, tell us about jet black, because that is the new color. What do you think?
It's really nice. It's kind of like a worry stone. It's super hard, but super shiny. They've turned aluminum into something like ceramic, basically.
Right. Right.
You know, of course, the joke is that in the fine print, Apple says, by the way, it will show scratches much more than regular aluminum, so keep it in a case.
Great. So no one will know what you have. I ordered one, but I won't have it till October 4th, and I'm not going to put it in a case. I'll be the guinea pig to see how easily it scratches. That could just be lawyerly weasel words. It may not.
It could be.
And it may.
Like the water resistance, by the way, is a lawyerly. You know, they're not saying waterproof. They're saying, you know, you can use it in the rain. No, it's much better than that. It's certified at a meter underwater for half an hour.
That's nice.
If you haven't noticed that it's in the toilet after half an hour,
you deserve to lose your phone. No.
You should get a Galaxy Note.
Unsafe even in the water, by the way. I tried that, and it would still explode.
Yep. And in fact, I did a stand-up, you know, Facebook Live thing in the hands-on room, and so Yahoo Finance was rolling a camera on me, and I was running through the new features, and I said, and then they say it's even water resistant. I had my water
bottle. Oh no!
and there with like 43 Apple PR people with earpieces looking around the room right at me, I squirted.
David.
It was, and no one blinked an eye. Yeah. No one, you know, there was no hook that came and got me or anything. Right. Like, it was just, it worked.
Yeah, we'll see if you get an invitation to next year's event. So the thing that was worrisome to me was the change in the home button. It used to be a physical button. Now it doesn't move, and they use haptics, much like they do in the MacBook, to trick you. But I've read some people who did play with it who said it's not quite that. It buzzes the whole bottom of the phone. What did you think of the new home button?
No, it's so much better. First of all, it's just faster. It's just faster and quicker to respond. And, you know, in iOS 10, by the way, to wake the phone, it's no longer press the home button and then swipe to unlock. That's two different places.
Oh, thank goodness. That was really annoying.
You press the home button to wake it and then press again to unlock. So your finger doesn't move anymore. It's just much faster 100 times a day. It's a really smart idea.
Yeah, that used to drive me crazy because I'm used to Android phones where you just unlock it and it's unlocked.
That's right.
I don't understand the secondary motion, but okay.
But the home button clicking, you have a choice of three clickinesses, to use the technical term, in settings. You can have it like very subtle and, you know, quiet click, or medium, or you know, heavy, and it is absolutely convincing. I don't agree. I could never go back.
You defended Apple taking the headphone jack off.
I don't know if I defended it. I explained it.
You said there's Apple, legitimate reasons for it.
Well, everyone's like, ooh, Apple took out the headphone jack. Guess what? Apple didn't take it out. Apple's the third company to take it out. Yep. It's going out of all phones. Apple isn't even leading the way on this. Motorola got rid of them last month, and the big Chinese makers have already taken them out. So the reason is, it was actually explained to me last year. I did a story on USB-C, and the guy at Intel who runs the USB-C consortium and deals with 600 computer manufacturers said in passing, and by the way, the module that accommodates the 3.5 millimeter headphone mini plug is huge inside a phone. It's like the thickest remaining component of a phone. And if you look at a broken down, you know, Samsung or iPhone, you'll see it's like taking up an inch square.
Really?
In there.
It's big? Wow.
It's huge. It's a terrible waste of space.
All right.
And it's making all these manufacturers crazy. Like, meanwhile, they're miniaturizing everything else.
Right.
The battery wants to get bigger. They want to put on an optical stabilizer on the camera. They want to put better speakers. But there's no room because of that frickin' headphone module.
So that's one of the things that gave Apple is the haptic in the home button. And I think getting rid of a moving home button is probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gives them stereo speakers. How's the sound on that new phone?
Sound is fantastic. If you tried the old one and the new one, you know, Apple says it's 2x the volume. It is.
I mean,
it's like, you know, halfway toward eliminating the need for, you know, a little tiny Bluetooth speaker.
Ultimately, losing the headphone jack is more about, they're going to package adapters and lightning cable phones, but it's ultimately about going wireless, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Apple would like. Apple would love for you to buy this.
$169. It's not to love.
Yeah, just the first time before you lose it.
But any Bluetooth headphones would work with it, including the Beats headphones. You don't have to have a W1-enabled phone, headset to use.
No, except that what the W1 does is it eliminates what's wrong with Bluetooth audio.
Right.
You know, the flakiness and the short distance and the lag, especially if you want to watch video over Bluetooth earbuds, you know, the dialogue's going to lag a fraction of a second. But these don't. I tried watching a movie with them. There is no lag. So Apple uses Bluetooth, but they've built new protocols on top of it.
I see.
And that's only available through wireless Beats and wireless AirPods. But, you know, Jaybirds are another popular Bluetooth headset. They don't have this secret sauce. But
okay.
But I want to say before we move on from headphones, this is super important. Everybody is going nuts online about, oh, my God, what about my expensive headphones that I already have? So in the box with the iPhone, you get new white Apple earbuds with a lightning connector to put in the regular earbuds. And if you have earbuds you prefer or headphones you prefer, they also include a 2-inch lightning that adapter. And it's only $9. So the idea is you leave it on the end of your headphones all the time. You're like, I don't want to carry a bunch of adapters.
No, it converts the headphones to Bluetooth, I mean to Lightning. But what I'm going to do is I'm just adding $100 to the cost of the iPhone, and I'm going to buy like 10 of these adapters and just put them everywhere because I know I'm not going to have them when I want one.
But then also you need the adapter when you plug the iPhone in
to
charge.
Well, you can't charge and listen unless you buy this Belkin.
Right. Have you seen the graphic that's been going around where it's the phone and the little adapter and then the second adapter and then the headphones? It's just
anybody who ever bought a Mac Pro knows that Apple likes to have things hanging off your stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the rationale is. Here's the Belkin adapter. I'm sure others will do that. We'll see.
Well, but what the fallacy of that too? I mean, look, Apple haters will. Anyway, I mean, the fallacy of that illustration is that you would have a really ugly picture on the iPhone 6 plugged in and listening to earbuds at the same time.
I don't know if that's true. I think a lot of people dock their phone and listen.
Two cables means two cables.
Yeah. So let me ask you about the AirPod quality. We won't get these AirPods till late next month. Is the sound quality pretty good? At that price, it ought to be.
Yeah, it's the same as the wired ones.
It is?
Yeah.
It ought to be better.
Do they fall out of your ear as much as the wired ones?
You know, I'm a bad person to ask. I'm hideously deformed. I don't know if you can see this, but I am.
Oh, my God. David, you should get a doctor in
there. Look at that.
I have no anti-tragus. There, I've said it.
Oh, my God.
So
your phones just fall out?
I can't wear regular. See what I'm wearing here? I'm wearing...
Yeah.
I can't wear the normal Apple ones. I don't have the...
Nobody can.
Nobody can.
Those earpods, they're terrible.
Yeah, so these stuck in there, but I was only in the demo room for an hour, so you know, who knows. I will say that they were also playing... They were also having the Beats Athletic wireless ones on display there,
Those have hooks.
They have hooks and a strap.
Yeah.
It goes around the back so that if the thing falls out, it won't be... Somebody on Twitter said... oh my God, people are going to lose those AirPods all the time when they're out jogging. And someone else said, well, don't worry, because if you lose one,
you find
just
some.
Look in the leaves along the jogging path.
Yeah, it's kind of an exchange. Leave one, get one. It's very nice, very easy.
It's like an umbrella, right?
Apple people are so friendly. It's no problem at all. Well, you know, I'm not as sanguine as you are about the removal of the headphone jack, but, you know, the market will tell. I'll tell you one thing. I got online at midnight on Friday to order this thing, and by the time they didn't open the store till 12:08. By the time I was in there, they were already sold out of all the jet blacks for delivery next Friday. I had to buy, you won't believe this, David, a gold iPhone to get it by the 16th. That's 2 years old gold.
But Leo, actually, that's a good point. You may have saw the press release that for the first time, Apple will not be releasing sales figures for the first weekend. And they said that the reason is, at this point, it has no relationship to the demand.
Yeah.
All it says is how many were they able to make.
Exactly.
So the fact that they're sold out tells you one of two things. Either it's a crazy popular phone, as it always is on the first weekend, or they're having trouble making enough.
Right. And it may be that jet black is, you know, they said it's a lot of stuff they have to do to make that. It may be that that's harder to get just because of that. There's fewer of them. Sure felt like that, you know, there was just as much demand. I mean, it's all, you know, kind of, it was hard to get through. It, you know, Sprint was down for most of the middle of the night. There was demand, a lot of demand. So I may be completely wrong on this headphone jack thing. I'm kind of mad about that. I understand why they did it, but
let me ask you guys. So I got to talk to, you know, Joswiak, the head super marketing
Love Jos.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he has said on the record, I'll tell you exactly what we use that inch of space for. So we put the optical stabilizer into the iPhone 7.
That's nice to have.
Plus,
yep.
And we expanded the battery by 14%.
Okay.
So
that's
2 hours.
Yep.
Okay. And he said something about the new screen with a wider color gamut also requires more bulk.
So they use they use the real estate well.
So if you had to choose, I'm asking both of you right now, if you had to choose, you know, put this 2-inch adapter on the end of your headphones or do without the bigger battery, the image stabilization, and the better screen, which would you choose?
You're asking the wrong two guys. I hate to say it. He's the host of All About Android.
Well, the thing is that I'm of two minds with this because I get the reasoning. And David, you're right. They're not the first company to do it.
Not that the Moto Z is a hot selling item,
but still, it already kind of happened. And if it's truly, and David, you saw it. So if it pairs as seamlessly and frictionless as possible, as they showed it, I'm excited for the future of that, of new devices that can pair that easily. And because pairing is so annoying, and if they can
I'm
do
not
that
sure
the board,
I buy it. I look at the Note 7, the fine exploding phone, and that's a smaller phone than the 7 Plus with a bigger screen in it. I'm not sure I buy this. I think that other companies are managing to put a headphone jack in and still get more stuff going on in a smaller package. So that's wonderful. The market will judge, and I'm curious to see what the market says, because the headphone jack is not obsolete any more than a QWERTY keyboard is obsolete.
And that was the positioning, that it's a 100-year-old bit of technology.
Yeah, I don't buy
that. Guess what? It's a 100-year-old technology that just works.
Yeah, it's not a floppy disk.
I can walk into CVS and buy a $7 pair of earbuds, which I've done when I've traveled and I've lost my earbuds and I want to go running, and I don't care what brand it is, I don't care what protocol it is, it just works.
What about the watch, David? Did you look at the ceramic watch, the new...
Yeah.
Are you going to trade your gold watch in for that?
I would not buy an Apple Watch, but they're certainly absolutely beautiful. I mean, the ceramic thing is like, you know, if Jesus made a watch, that's what it would look like.
Well, fortunately, Jesus is not a watchmaker. He's a carpenter. But no, actually, I bought the ceramic just because I wanted to.
Breaking?
No. Ceramic is better than steel.
Yeah.
I've had ceramics.
It's so expensive. It's like.
Oh, I'm made of money. I have a budget because I have a budget for this stuff, and I think it was important to look at the ceramic and answer people's questions like, can I break this? I'll slam it. I'll hand it with a hammer. But I've had ceramic watches before. Ceramic is a prized material in high-end watches, usually not white, black more common. Yeah. White's a little weird. But it's actually a great material. It's very lightweight, and it's harder than steel. It's about twice as hard as steel.
Well, they make the baseball
bats. And it doesn't scratch.
The baseball bats in white.
Ceramic bats? Baseball
bats. Yeah,
behind you. Wait a minute. I have a ceramic bat? David, I will hit my ceramic watch with this ceramic bat. Wow.
See, it says ceramic. Yeah.
Look at that. So if a baseball bat can do it, So I think it's an interesting choice of materials. Isn't it interesting they didn't mention they're not selling the gold watch anymore? Yeah. I can't imagine. What would you do if you spent 10 grand on a gold Apple watch and there's no upgrade path for you?
Well, Leo, there's no upgrade path for your $1,500 ceramic one either.
What?
Like a year from now, the watch is going to be half as thick, and you're going to be like, no!
It seems like it's a little bit thicker than the original, right? Well, we'll see. I don't know. I thought it was really nice to pair a $1,300 watch with a $2 rubber band.
Yeah.
So you're not an Apple Watch fan, David?
I just, you know, it's the battery. You know, I know it's physics. I know it's chemistry. I know Apple can't do anything about it, and no one has solved this problem. But you cannot have a beautiful color touchscreen and battery life that lasts more than a day. I refuse to take my watch off every night to charge it. That's insane.
It's insane. I'm charging everything else.
I got to charge my bookmark. I have to charge my shoelace.
David Pogue, you're the greatest. I'm sure you're going to write a song all about it, and I look forward to that. We will catch you at Yahoo Tech. We're still doing the best work out there. CBS Sunday Morning. Anything else? What's the latest book? You're always writing a book.
Yeah, well, I started this Pogue's Basics series.
Love those.
And there's a third one. There was Pogue's Basics Tech, which is, you know, all the little tips and tricks on your tech that no one bothers to tell you. And then there was Pogue's Basics for Life last year, which is sort of life hacks. And I'm pleased to announce that this November, it's Pogue's Basics Money. It is best thing I've ever done, because we leave money on the table everywhere we go. You know, travel, electronics, and food, and hotels, and clothing, and children, and sports, and everywhere.
So awesome. I need that.
All the hidden tips.
Tip one, do not buy a $1,299 ceramic watch. Put that in the book, will you?
There it is.
David, always a pleasure. Thank you. David Pogue, Yahoo Tech. Great to talk to you. Take care.
Take care, you guys.
Thanks, David. He is the greatest.
Oh, he's the legend.
You know, I've been on many cruises with him and his family, he's so much fun, and the lectures he gives. Mm-hmm. And because he started his career as a Broadway composer, as a songwriter, he writes these great song parodies. Yeah. If you ever get a chance to see David doing his song parodies, you got to see it. iOS 10 and WatchOS 3 come out September 13th this week. Although if you're on the beta track, you will already have iOS 10. I got it on my iPad, the final version, because the Gold Master is out. I got it on my iPad and my iPhone. Same thing with if you're on the beta of macOS Sierra, you will have that today, but 9.20 for the rest of us with a new version.
Very disappointed that that does not include a new version of Space Quest. And
Quest?
Sierra Online.
Oh, I get it. Oh, man, there's a... Are you excited about Mario Runner, though?
The Nintendo announcement is big. I mean, Nintendo has been flirting with it. You know, we've already seen them really, you know, kind of getting in, you know, with the Pokemon, even though Nintendo and Pokemon aren't exactly the same organization. But this is going to be huge. I mean, just to see Nintendo enter the mobile market, and they could price that game whatever they want, and people will buy it.
We're going
to
talk to Sam Mashkevich in a bit about it, but as I understand it, this is the first time Nintendo has made a game for any other platform besides theirs. So that's pretty amazing. And of course, Pokemon Go on the Apple Watch. That's going to look so nice on my white ceramic. What was I thinking? It was middle of the night. I was tired. I said, what can I buy? I can't buy the phone. What can I buy? We're going to talk in just a second about the new Samsung Gear 360, 360-degree camera, which works great with your Note 7 if it's not blown up yet. Jason will have a review. But first, Braintree Payments. If you are a mobile app developer, if you want to include payments in your app or even on your website, you got to know and you got to use Braintree Payments. Braintree is a solution for your kind of nightmare. If you've been assigned, oh, look, you've got to add payments, you do not want to write this yourself. Not only is it a lot of work, is security a major issue? And, of course, if you're not an expert on this stuff, you do not want to be writing this stuff. Guaranteed, you'll make a mistake. You want the pros to do it. But also, they keep adding new forms of payment. You know, Samsung Pay just came out. They got Apple Pay. They got Android Pay. The nice thing about Braintree is that's all handled for you. You incorporate Braintree into your app with just a few lines of code. Works on iOS, works on Android, works with JavaScript, works with all the languages you use, Ruby or PHP or Python, Java, of course. And then you've got it in there. It's baked in. You go, if there's a new form of payment comes out, you've already got credit cards, you've got debit cards, you've got PayPal, you've got Apple Pay, Android Pay, you even got Bitcoin in there. When the next thing comes, all you do is you go to your control panel and you check a box, and it's added. Plus, it solves the big problem of shopping cart rejection. About 70% of mobile shopping carts are abandoned before they press the submit button. You don't want that. Braintree makes your users happy. It makes your, because they're using it already. They're using it and you're using it. You ever take an Uber? Braintree. You ever take a Lyft? Braintree. Ever use Airbnb? Braintree. Hotels Tonight? Braintree. I go on and on and on. Everybody uses it. It's the best-in-class solution. Even GitHub uses it, and I know you're using GitHub. Go to BraintreePayments.com/NSS. You can check out the sandbox. You can find out more. You can get all the information you need to tell your boss or the product manager, or if you're the product manager, for you to make the decision. From your first dollar to your billionth, there's nothing better. BraintreePayments.com/NSS. So the Samsung Gear 360, it's a little bit orphaned right now because you have to use a Samsung phone. You could use the Galaxy S7.
You definitely could use the... In fact, it was announced with the Galaxy S7 announcement.
I remember they had like three guys walking in Paris.
Yep.
And then some poor schmo was at home wearing the headset.
It's like he was there.
And there we're walking around, look, look. And he's going, oh. So that was how they pitched this.
Right.
It's live
as
well as recorded.
Exactly.
Well, we gave it to Jason Howell, and he's got this review. Let's take a look.
Hey, everyone. I've got the Gear 360 here. I've always wanted to get into immersive photography, and this Samsung's little device for $350 allows you to do just that. It kind of looks like an alien head, don't you think? Let's take a look at this. I've had a lot of fun with this. Two 180-degree 15-megapixel sensors inside, fisheye lenses, dual-cam photos, dual-cam videos, all stitched together to make an immersive 360-degree experience. It is protected against dust and water spray. It includes this three-legged stand so you can prop it up on things, but you can also unscrew that, and underneath it has a general attachment for other types of stands. Three buttons that basically control this, and that's one of its positive features. It has the power button that is also the back, has the menu button, and the record button. It's as simple as that. You pretty much just tap the record. That fires off the record based on what mode it happens to be in. Is it photo, video time lapse, or video looping, which basically records for a certain amount of time. Then when it reaches the end, it starts recording again. That saves you in the edit later. You can also add a timer so that your hand isn't always, you know, in the shot if you want to get away from the camera when you fire off that record. It does connect to the Gear 360 app, and that only works on a certain number of phones: Galaxy S7 series, Galaxy S6 series, and the Note 5 and the Note 7. Basically, it can stream that video on through Wi-Fi Direct, and you can see it on the phone as you're doing that. You also do a lot of your stitching so that you can prepare these photos and these videos for sharing later. All of that happens on the device. You just browse the thumbnail, tap it, and it'll stitch. Takes a little while to do that. Then you can view it and share it out. And if you don't have a supported phone, you can actually do this also on the Windows PC with a Gear 360 Action Director software. And then once you find the media you like, you just share it out to Facebook. YouTube has support for this sort of stuff. You can put it all over of these places, and more, you know, being added all the time. I didn't think that the sharing process was too seamless. There were a little bits of issues here and there. It kind of took a little extra time to do it, but with a little bit of effort, I was able to get it up there in the end. Overall, image quality is pretty solid. Pictures are noticeably sharper than what you get out of video recorded here. You do see some stitching artifacts in close-range subjects, so it's much better for long-range photos. You almost have to kind of know where the center dead zone is and place those strategically so you don't get stitching like in between somebody's face. And audio quality is a little tinny, but overall, I had a lot of fun playing around with the Gear 360 over the weekend. Took it camping, and I took it all over the place. Lots of video, lots of audio, and I was really happy with the results. Posted it on Facebook, of course, and all the people that were there on the camping trip were super impressed by what they saw. You know, it certainly has its issues sometimes with quality, sometimes with, you know, the limited device support, but overall, I would highly recommend Samsung's Gear 360 for $350. That is my review. My name is Jason Howell. You can catch me on All About Android Tech News Today, pretty much all over twit.tv.
Thank you, Jason Howell. Make sure you watch every week for All About Android with Jason and Ron.
I didn't realize the Gear 360 costs $360.
That's funny, isn't it?
It's $359.99.
Thank God it's not the Gear 600. It would really be expensive. I have a Theta S, which does the same thing. It's similarly priced. It works with every phone.
Which is a big pro in my book.
Which is a pro. Yeah, on the other hand, it's lower quality, I think, than the 360 images look a little bit crisper.
Yeah, they look great. Jason posted some stuff up on Facebook of his camping trip. They just looked
I'm trying
phenomenal.
To decide if I should bring the 360 on my next
vacation.
Why not? I have the Theta. I could bring the Theta. Yeah.
Because
I'll tell you what,
you
have to bring another phone.
Do dueling 360s. Dueling 360s. Just hold them and walk around.
That's friends and influence
I don't know. I think
people.
It's neat. I love that it looks like an old webcam.
It is cool.
I like the design of the device. Yeah. I just wish it worked on things other than Samsung.
Built-in tripod's kind of cool,
too.
That,
it's neat. So,
if you're going to have a big announcement, big event, best time to have it is right the same time Apple's doing its event, don't you think?
That's when
you're going to get the maximum press. For some reason, obviously, they didn't know ahead of time. Sony planned. They moved their event to noon so that Apple was
at,
which had just ended. And, of course, you've not, after 2 hours watching streaming video of the Apple event, you've got to go watch the Sony event. By the way, did you know Dell had an event also on Wednesday?
You mentioned that earlier. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, nobody did. So we didn't get a chance to watch. We were busy watching the Apple event. But Sam Moskovitz. Sam. Hi, Sam.
There he
Sam,
is.
Sam, I'm going to do it right. Moskovitz.
Got it. You got it. Guys, we are wasting time, and I know that you want to hear about the PlayStation 4 event that you did not watch because you were too busy appling. Now, here's the thing, though. Very unnecessary event because every single thing about the PlayStation 4 Pro leaked except for its name. The PlayStation 4 Pro was announced months ago thanks to developer leaks.
Is the Pro the Neo?
So the PlayStation 4 Neo was the thing that leaked a while back, described as a system with a little bit more power to enable 4K gaming.
And that's
the idea being people want 4K TVs and 4K games on those TVs. So we took a look a while back at the leaked specs that were handed to developers because Sony wanted games for their 4K set. And we saw the part that was listed, which was a 4.2 teraflop system. If you don't know what that means, it means not powerful enough to run a native 4K game. That's quite a bit of juice, and a little bit more than twice the power of the PlayStation 4. But 4K is a lot of pixels. So everyone was wondering, how the heck are they going to get this to work? And what we had guessed, and what Sony absolutely admitted, is that you are probably not going to get a pure 4K signal from any game on the PlayStation 4 Pro, which is its official name, no longer the Neo. Instead, Sony is advertising what's called a checkerboard effect, so that if you're running a game on your nice 4K set, it's going to take less than 4K, maybe 2K, I guess, so it's about twice the number of pixels of a 1080p set, and checkerboard them up, fine-tune those pixels, so that it looks better than just taking your 1080p signal and quadrupling it.
So how does it look? You've seen it, right? But does it look okay?
I was not at the event, and hilariously, Sony's been putting videos up that are in 4K that actually have motion blur in the video. So if you go on YouTube and set 4K and watch and then freeze frame, it's got all artifacting. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
I don't know
dear.
Why you bother. But there's two things happening here. First off, 4K being advertised. And yes, what we're seeing does look quite good, especially in motion. 4K, I personally believe, is not the most incredible effect in motion. It's very hard to see. At some point, your eyeballs can only perceive so much pixel density.
Right.
But it does look good in motion. The other thing that Kyle Orland from Ars Technica got to see was the HDR effect of video games. That high dynamic range. Now, this is the standard that's being implemented in even more sets, 4K sets now. And the reason being, HDR offers a perceptible image boost in a way that we believe 4K does not. HDR, the shortest way of putting it is, darker darks, whiter whites, and brighter colors all next to each other, so you don't get the sort of color bleed that you're going to get from other displays. So the idea being, when you see a normal TV and an HDR TV, especially in a 3D video game where there's a lot of stuff moving around that you're controlling, you're going to see these really cool light and shadow effects in way more eye-popping manner. The way to put it is, there was a demo of the Uncharted series. It was a beach scene. And if you watch it on a normal TV, a lot of the water and sand effects are kind of washed out in this very bright light, sandy ocean scene. Put that on an HDR display, and you get to see this sort of fine shimmering of the sand pixels and the water, the way it reflects, occurring. There's just no way to show this on YouTube on an average screen, and YouTube doesn't even offer HDR support currently for average people, especially on computer screens. So really, if you were not at the event, you didn't really get the sales pitch that Sony wants you to have, which is that HDR does provide something cool, and that you should pay all this money for both your new screen and your new system.
But wait a minute, because aren't they going to update all the existing PS4s with HDR software?
That is kind of correct. What's happening is, we're going to get an unlocked HDR upgrade in every PlayStation 4 that's shipped since 2013. I geeked out earlier this week on the fact that what this means is, there's an HDMI controller inside of every PlayStation 4 that was rated for a spec that didn't exist at the time.
Oh, interesting.
Because HDR requires a certain amount of metadata and a certain amount of bandwidth. It's not actually that much more, but the idea is that HDR and 4K are kind of linked together. The HDMI spec is this just minefield of garbage. But bottom line is, that's going to happen in your PlayStation 4. What games will support it is the question, because game makers are going to have to go back through and code that stuff. Additionally, your 1080p signal on a 4K set doesn't look that good. If you go to a lot of these gizmo review sites, they will let you know that 1080p upscaling on a lot of these 4K sets just doesn't look very good.
Right.
It's fine, but you're definitely going to notice that blur. That quadrupling of pixels is super noticeable. So taking your PlayStation 4 and hooking it up to an HDR display is probably going to be 4K. So you're going to get that perceptible light and shadow pop, but that's going to come at the expense of blurriness, which maybe Sony will expect you then go, oh, well, clearly I need to spend $309 more dollars to PlayStation 4 Pro.
I'm lucky. I never bought a PS4. Yep. Now, they have one that's the Slim is coming out right now. That's just the same PS4 in a smaller package, much like the Xbox One S, right?
Well, the Xbox One S did provide a tiny bit of update, especially in supporting UHD Blu-ray.
Yeah, I bought it for the Blu-ray player, which Sony's not putting in their PS4.
Sony is not putting that UHD Blu-ray player, wow, words, in either the PlayStation 4 Slim or the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Kind of surprising, because I bought a PS3 because of the Blu-ray player in the PS3, would have bought a PS4 Pro if they'd had a UHD
Sony
player.
Sony helped usher in Blu-ray into everybody's living room with the PS3. So.
But I think they're right. I'll tell you why. The people who buy PS4s are gamers. Yep. A lot of people bought Xbox Ones, myself included, thought of it as a media center. Yep. So I want the One S because I have a 4K UHD TV. I wanted the player for it. Actually, it went the other way around. I bought the One S, then I had to buy a new TV. That happens sometimes.
As it often does, right?
Leo, does that 4K set of yours already have Netflix and Amazon
exactly.
Video and
exactly.
built in?
Right.
So Sony's come out and said, we don't need to put a Blu-ray player in there. Right. We have the streaming apps. And my response is, the TV already has the streaming app. What's the value proposition?
Right.
I think this actually would have been a really good $15 to $20 per unit to make people say, all right, this is going to knock everything out for me,
dumb.
At least in the first
dumb.
Wave.
Yeah.
I think people, early adopters, are going to go in, who's going to get a 4K set, are going to want just that one system that does it all. And Microsoft had a field day advertising all the things that their Xbox One S, which is $300, can do. It's going to have HDR. It already has UHD, HDR streaming, and it's got that Blu-ray, UHD Blu-ray. And that's a big deal right now in the short term, in this year and a half, before 4K is bigger and before more streaming bandwidth issues are dealt with. If I want to watch Netflix in 4K right now, I better hope nobody else in my neighborhood is using Netflix and I've got all that bandwidth clogging. I already deal with artifacts with 1080p streaming, let alone with UHD. So the disc is a really nice thing to guarantee that. And that's a short-term thing. UHD streaming, assuming 4K is really the thing that blows up, is going to stabilize in the future. But in this first year and a half to 2 years of one of these electronic brands establishing itself as the 4K thing, I thought this was a much more blown opportunity than some other people think.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, let me ask, so we have the Slim available now. The Pro is coming out next month, right? Late October?
November. Yeah.
Okay. And what about PlayStation VR? Did they talk about that at all?
They talked about the fact that the PlayStation 4 Pro will offer certain enhancements to PlayStation VR. It's going to be essentially higher resolution and a little bit more detail. That being said, every event I've been to that has had PlayStation VR, and I've been to a few of these over the past few years, has all run on the original PlayStation 4. It's all run very smoothly. It's actually using a resolution doubling trick, because 90 frames a second, in terms of how fast the image is going in your face, like when it's right there, is essential to keep nausea down. And it's done a very good job of that with its little trick. Please enter your birth date if you're watching on the web stream. It works very nicely. It works very neatly. I am the canary in the coal mine for Ars Technica's VR people, and I find it works nicely. I was even testing it at the PAX West demo expo just last weekend. Works great. I'm excited about PlayStation VR, and I don't see PlayStation 4 Pro gaining that much of a noticeable benefit, because the screen, the pixels on the headset are pretty minimal. They're not as many as your Oculus Rift
or your HTC Vive. They don't need the higher end of the
I don't think you're going to see that much of a pop as you might expect.
You got to imagine the faster CPU is going to help it to a degree.
I think that may be a Band-Aid for certain games, but currently there's a spec that's locked. People making stuff for VR don't want to limit any consumers. They understand it's a losing battle to sell. If you look at the HTC Vive and Oculus's sales numbers, which have been estimated out there in the wild, they're not great. People are sort of scared about how many people are actually buying these things.
Right.
So
the
last thing anyone wants to hear is, you need more stuff in order to get this thing
working. In fact, that's what developers did with both the Vive and the Oculus was, it works as well with the lowest-end video card that supports it as it does with a higher-end video card. There's no need to get the 1080.
Right.
It works fine with a 970. So let me, one last question. So we should just say once again, the Slim is available September 15th. That's going to be $299. That's essentially the same as a regular PS4. And will be, along with all PS4s in the market right now, supported with new updates that'll give you HDR of some kind. Yeah. The PS4 Pro comes out November 10th. That is $399, and that does have a faster CPU, a big hard drive, upgraded GPU, and this upsampled, it sounds like, 4K.
And just real quick, if you don't pony up for the 4K set, there will be benefits for your games, and that's where there's some confusion, because some games are going to have multiple settings. This kind of feels like PC gaming, where you can choose, do I want a smoother frame rate, or do I want more detail and more crazy stuff happening on the screen at once? And it's going to be a developer by developer decision. Some older software is going to be upgraded accordingly. Newer software is going to have some sort of boost as a result. I expect at the very least frame rate unlocks are going to be the thing, but that's really that we don't have that much data on how much of that is going to happen. You'll get some benefit, but we're really stopping and waiting to see exactly what 1080p benefits we are going to get out of this.
You excited about Super Mario Run?
Super Mario Run for the iPhone looks great. I was shocked to see Shigeru Miyamoto on an Apple stage. What the heck? Now, the endless runner genre, in which you don't use a joystick, you're able to have people run around on your phone, that's been around for a few years. There's been games like Cannibalt and Rayman Jungle Run. These are very nice on the phone because they solve that problem of, I don't have a joystick, but I want to play old school retro games. So this totally makes sense that something called Super Mario Run is the answer to how do you make Super Mario work on a smartphone. So Mario just runs and runs and runs. He's going through the new Super Mario Brothers universe. There's wall jumping and there's other sort of tricks that let you go back and forth on the screen. But otherwise, it's looking to be a pretty simple sort of experience. And I'm just very curious as to how this is really going to stand out, other than sales, from what's already come out in the world of the endless runner genre. I think this is going to introduce a lot of people to this genre that might otherwise not bother. I think this is going to just definitely do well. Now, one thing I think is interesting is they didn't really say this very clearly during the presentation, but this is going to be free.
Right.
As in, when the game comes out, you can try a few levels without paying a dime, and then you're going to be able to pay a quote-unquote determined price to keep on playing.
It's not freemium in the sense that you'll have in-app purchases. You'll either get a few levels for free or you'll buy the full game.
That's what it sounds like, although we'll have to wait and see if Nintendo comes up with
it. And not till December, which shocked me. I thought it would be...
Right in time for the holidays.
Time for the holidays.
I'm sure that they're just scrambling to get this done in time for December, because otherwise I'm surprised Nintendo didn't just stealth launch it and say, here it is, it's ready to go. But Nintendo's been in a weird place in terms of what they are and are not telling us. They've got the NX coming. But they did say that we should not expect Super Mario Run to specifically be involved with the new system. There will be a little bit of crossover because Nintendo has a My Nintendo sort of social network rewards sort of thing that will work on, that it'll transfer for both systems, but don't expect this to blend in necessarily with the NX. This is its own distinct smartphone thing. It's a very smart move on their part. It does mean that the other smartphone games they'd already announced for other games called Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem, these are pretty popular series, and their entries were supposed to come out by the end of this year. They've been bumped now. Super Mario's been put into the pole position.
Interesting.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't think anyone's really crying in the long run. The stock market certainly...
No, they were very excited. I'm excited. It looks like a lot of fun, and a continuous running game makes a lot of sense for that platform, as you say.
You get the character recognition. I think that's why Pokemon was so successful this summer, because people recognize that. So when people walk into the Apple Store and see Mario, that's an immediate sell. So
Sam Moskovich, Ars Technica. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Sam. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for dealing with my audio issues. I have to run to a Street Fighter tournament because that is my life. But I really appreciate you guys.
Are you
me up
playing
on
or just watching?
I would be last. If there was less than last place, that's where I'd be.
But Sam reports on Culture at Ours.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I was going to say, what character do you find?
Yeah, I was going to ask too. Yeah.
Zangief all day.
Zangief. Very cool.
You kids and your wacky games.
Now, before we move on away from Mario, it's important to note that Nintendo did say that Mario Run will also be coming for Android, but no date determined. But it will. They are. So it's not iOS.
It's a temporary Apple exclusive.
Yes, right.
But then temporary.
At some point, it's going to come on Android.
Yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't put it on Android. Here I am an Xbox guy. We're talking about Sony. You're an Android guy. We're talking about Apple. We're just very cross-platform.
All over the map.
All over the map. All right, let's do a call for help. What do you say? JJ to the 4884 is on the line right now. That's how you know him in the chat room. Joel is from Augusta, Georgia. Hi, where are you? Are you at an event?
It actually just finished. I'm actually still in the school building that it was held, so...
Oh, cool. What was it, a gaming event? What was that? What were you doing?
It was a B-Sides.
Do you know what that is?
No.
B-Sides Augusta.
B-Sides Augusta. No, I know. I'm just so excited. So what does JJ to the 4884 mean?
Basically, my initials raised to my favorite palindrome number.
Wow.
All right. Well, there you
Not
go.
Many people have a favorite palindrome number, I got to say. So what can we do for you, Joel?
So my first smartphone that I've ever had, my Galaxy S2, I've been running it. I've had it for a long time. I've rooted it because it was running Jelly Bean for a while. And I sent in the question a few months before it actually died. So I'm trying to find a new phone to replace it. And I'm hoping that you guys can help me.
I'm excited. I mean, well, first of all, you had a G4.
G2.
G2.
Yep.
And the new G, what is it, G4 is out?
Or the G5 is out.
G5.
But...
No, wait. Hold on. It's GS2. Galaxy.
The Galaxy S2. So he had a Samsung Galaxy S2.
Ah, I was confused.
All right.
So I do like the Motos, though. Those are nice.
Motos are very nice. But so...
But the Pixels are coming.
Yeah.
And that would be... I'll tell you, you correct me if I'm wrong.
Go for it.
But given the spate of malware, now there's a whole new set of three different malware problems on Android. They're already exploits in the App Store. Of course, Google kills them as soon as they find them.
Yep.
And, of course, if you've got scanning turned on, which you should on your Android phone, it'll probably find it then as well, since they know very well what these exploits are about. Nevertheless, the patch for these exploits is going to be part of the September update. Nobody even has that yet, right? We're waiting for it on the 5X and the 6P. You'll probably get it because Samsung and LG have promised that they would take the monthly updates, but you won't get it as fast. And then the real issue is nobody else has promised they'll take the updates. Right. And so as much as I like the Axon, $400, great phone, the Axon 7 from ZTE, the OnePlus 3, love that phone, $400, the Honor 8, none of these companies have yet pledged that they'll take updates.
But they haven't pledged that they'll take the monthly updates. But
they need to do that.
But when something like stage fright happens, they scramble to get that update out because it's such an issue. So I feel like they're taking a wait-and-see approach with each of these updates.
And that makes me nervous.
It's
one of the reasons at this point, I'm basically, if you're going to use Android, get a phone made by Google.
Yeah,
I'm honest about this one. Now, I don't know. Do you agree?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that...
You have a Robin. You love your Robin.
Yeah, I do have the Nextbit Robin, and that is really, really close to stock, and those guys know what they're doing.
Have they said they'll take the updates?
I don't think they've committed
to
the monthly
updates. Why don't they say it? That's all I'm asking.
I could be wrong.
Commit.
Well, I mean, didn't they say they were, like, modifying it? Like, it takes a little bit of time, a few months?
That's why I use a stock Android.
Yep. But the potential problem with it, Joel, what is your price point that you're looking for?
Around 250, around that price range.
So you might be priced out of...
These aren't
going to
be cheap, these Pixel phones. I don't think Google's doing cheap phones.
And minimum, if they do, so the rumor is that they're doing, on October 4th or 5th, we're going to have an announcement from Google announcing their new phones. We assume they'd be the new Nexus phones, but the rumor is they're changing, they're dropping the Nexus brand and moving to the Pixel brand, and there will be a 5-incher or so Pixel, and then there'll be a Pixel XL.
These are the current ones, the 5X and the 6P. And I'm carrying the 6P right now.
Right.
And frankly, I'm not getting another Galaxy phone because I want to make sure I get those updates. And even with Samsung promising, it takes a while because they have to update it for their skin and all of that. And I just feel like it's safer to use an Android, a stock Android phone. What at that price range, what do you recommend? Moto is a good choice.
Well, I think Moto is a good choice. But looking in that price range, like we mentioned, the LG G5 is out and it's gotten some mixed reviews for various reasons. But that makes the LG G4... a low-cost option that you can still pick up. The LG G4, you can get it for $279 at Best Buy, cheaper at some other places. That's got a 16-megapixel camera. It's got the SD. It's got a micro SD card slot. Got 32-gig base of storage. It becomes a
there it is,
$279. Yeah.
That was a nice phone.
A great camera. That has got a great camera.
And that one has a genuine leather back.
Yep. And it's important to note that previous Nexus phones were built by LG. So there's already kind of a connection.
It's very much like, in fact, the 5, Nexus 5, actually. So I like that. I like that. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah.
I really like the Moto Gs. They're listing at $200.
Yep.
The G4 is out. But I don't know if I trust Lenovo, to be honest with you, to do these updates. If it were the old Motorola, I'd say go for it. But Lenovo seems to be taking a different path.
Yeah, I really like the Motorola's, but I've yet to pull the trigger and actually use one as a daily phone.
I use the original G, and I loved it. I thought for the price, that was the best thing out there.
Yep.
So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you're willing to... Joel, you're a security guru. Live dangerously.
I'm still learning.
Live dangerously. Is that what you do for a living, or because you're at a B-side?
Well, it's actually just because Augusta is becoming a big cyber hub with Fort Gordon having the cyber center. So, and also having some connections, networking, maybe having a potential for internships and jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're not connecting through the B-Sides network there, are you?
No, I'm not sure. Like,
what, it just said what free Wi-Fi access, like something like that.
Nothing like that. It's the university Wi-Fi.
Oh, I think you're all right.
Very cool.
I'm just teasing you. You said NFC was important.
The Moto G4
doesn't have NFC.
Which
how
I was,
could you not
I
have
surprised
NFC?
By, yeah, there's some different.
To me, NFC and fingerprint reader. But again, you're at such a low price point, you're not going to be able to get all those features.
Right. That mid-range. But what's interesting is that, like with the LG G4, that as the new phones roll out, the high range becomes the mid-range. So when you need to get the phone or whatever, but if you got some time and got some patience, you can get what was a high-range phone at a lower price point.
How about getting like a 5X? Isn't Google dropping the price on the
5X? Yeah, the 5X, you can get the 5X pretty easily, pretty cheap.
That's where I would go.
Yeah. But the 5X had a lot of criticisms as a phone in
general. It didn't have great battery life.
It
was pretty slow.
I feel like I can't do a single show talk about Android without trying to. I feel like Nextbit should be paying me. But the Nextbit Robin, it's a little more expensive. It's you're looking for $250. It's $299 now. They've dropped the price $100. But that's.
Well, has Nextbit said anything about like student pricing at all? Maybe some sort of student deals. I guess. I mean, you could possibly like try to. I don't know, tweet at them for something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about student pricing. That would be smart, but they do have a new red version of the phone, which is pretty sexy. But but one of the things is that it's got 32 gig, but it also gets 100 gig in the cloud to back up your apps. So if you're worried about running a lot of apps,
that's one way they keep the price down because it only has 32 gigs.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. I would spend the Nexus 6P right now $499. And I bet you when they announce the Pixel, if they still have any 6s left, this is the only risk, is sometimes they stop making them and then they just run out.
Right.
But if there's any left, I bet you they'll drop another $100 when the Pixel comes out.
Yeah, right? Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah,
and this is a great, this is the 6P. This is a great phone. I mean,
Big.
It's a little big.
We're already seeing price cuts on the Nexus 5X. You can get the Nexus 5X now for anywhere between $225 and $299. So if you want that pure stock kind of experience.
You might say it's slow, but it's not going to be any slower than any other $299
phone. No, I don't think it's slower. I think the 5X has had some criticisms about just the camera and just the overall.
Oh, they're crappy the cameras. Yeah, the 6P camera's crappy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You're spending $299. What do you want?
It's true.
You want everything, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, there's a reason why feature phones cost that much.
Yeah.
Profit. So, I think they do put stuff in the feature phones. They don't put in the less expensive phones. Yeah. I believe that most of these phones really cost them about $250 to make.
Yeah,
they could charge as little as that.
They've got to cover the marketing budget.
Yeah, it's all about marketing.
But my main recommendation for you is the LG G4. I think that's one to look into. So,
okay.
Cool.
Yeah. It seems like a good option.
It's nice to meet you, JJ, to the 4884. And good luck with the security career. Thank you for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
No problem, Leo, and good luck on your trip.
Thank you, Joel. I'm going to need it. I'm going to Russia.
Wow.
With a bunch of phones. That doesn't. What could possibly,
they're going to love that. Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? Hey, next week it's our photographer friend, Frederick Van Johnson. If you have a question about photography, here's how you could ask that question.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Another round of the Game of Geeks coming up, trivia time.
Ooh.
Now, you can play while you watch and see if you're smarter than our panel, okay? We have some. This is tough trivia, by the way. They came up with some tough
I love
questions.
Tech trivia. It's great.
Oh, I love tech trivia, too. But before we do that, let me just remind you about our great friends at Ring that make the Ring video doorbell, which we have at home, and I love it. In fact, sometimes I forget to mute my phone and you'll hear the da-na-na. In fact, it's hysterical because so many people around here have Ring video doorbells that everybody goes, is that mine? Is that my doorbell? Is my doorbell ringing? There are a few reasons to love it. Of course, there's the security angle. Bad guys generally will come up, especially when they rob you during the day. They don't want you to be home, so they'll come up, they'll ring the doorbell. If somebody answers, they go, oh, sorry, wrong house, or hey, do you want us to paint your curb, or whatever it is bad guys say. If nobody answers, though, they're going to go around back, they're going to break in. So the Ring video doorbell is a great way. Here's what happens. You take off your old doorbell, you replace it with this Ring. It's got all the stuff in the kit to do that, the drill bits, and you don't need a drill probably, but if it has them, the screwdriver. You attach it. If you have a wired doorbell, it attaches to the wires. If you don't, they have a wireless version too with a battery. It rings inside the house just like your regular doorbell, but it's attached to your Wi-Fi, so it also rings your phone, your tablet, your Mac, or your PC. And you can see who's at the door. You can press talk. You can talk to them. And there's a motion sensor, so even if somebody just kind of tiptoes up your steps, you can say, hey, what are you doing? Get off of my lawn. It's so much fun. The motion detector, by the way, very sophisticated. You can say how sensitive it is, what area you want it to cover. It's very configurable. I love our Ring video doorbell. I also love it for deliveries because a lot of times I'm going to miss a delivery. I want to be able to say, hey, I'm here. I'm in the bathtub. Could you just leave it there? I promise I'll sign for it tomorrow. If there's a package on the step, I can keep an eye on it. We get a lot of stuff delivered to the house, as you might imagine. This is a great tool. They've got a kit now they're putting together. If you go to ring.com/NSS, they call it their Ring of Security Kits. It includes, depends on which kit you get, the Ring video doorbell, but you can also get the Ring stick-up cam, which is a wonderful thing. It's a Ring without the doorbell, so you can put it around the back of the house, talk to people back there, see what's going on. You can also get the solar panel that goes with it, so you don't need to wire it up at all. It'll just charge and run all day and all night thanks to that solar panel. You can also get the chime. That plugs into any outlet in your house, ties into the Wi-Fi. It's a great way to hear a doorbell in a workshop or the cellar when you don't ever, you know, where you can't hear the doorbell normally. And they even offer these signs that light up. There's solar panels on them and say that you are covered, you are protected by Ring. So put together a kit that you want. You can save up to $150, but you got to go to ring.com/NSS. We are true believers in Ring around here. Everybody I know has one and loves it. ring.com/NSS. So we played the Game of Geeks a couple of weeks back when Greg Farrow was visiting from the Packet Pushers Network, Devendra Hardawar from Engadget, and Alex Wilhelm. No one ever really knows where Alex came from, but we had some fun. Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again to play the Game of Geeks. Three major geeks on stage today from Mattermark.com. Alex Wilhelm, it's great to see you.
Good to be back. Thank
Congratulations
you.
On the Jet acquisition.
I'm a millionaire now. It's my last show.
That t-shirt is worth 10 times more than it was last night.
Maybe 1,000 times.
Also with us from Engadget.com, it's Devendra Hardawar. Hello, Devendra.
Thanks for having me.
And from the Packet Pushers podcast. There's a lot of P's in there.
There is. It's alliteration done large.
That's exactly right. Yep. Now, this is a Q&A version, the 20-question version of the Game of Geeks. I'm going to ask you to answer a question. Typical geek trivia. Now, the key is your buzzer. In front of you, there's a buzzer. You must be the first person to buzz in with the correct answer. We've spent much money on this elaborate system that will lock out other people. It actually is smart enough to know who hit first. Congratulations, Alex Wilhelm.
I didn't even press it.
What's your answer?
You put it up and down.
My answer is 42, obviously.
Absolutely correct. So I can also, if you get it wrong, lock you out, and then it'll be up to the remaining two contestants to come up with the right answer. First person with the correct answer gets a point, and the first person to get to a lot of points wins.
It's the game that never ends.
It's a race to the top.
We have 20 questions. We'll see how long it takes for somebody to win. This is your prize. You get temporary possession of the Hat of Incredible Pain. we don't even know what that
the
memory is.
Do you have the MSRP on that thing?
Yeah. It's handmade.
-$5.
All you need is a glue gun and a lot of memory. Ladies and gentlemen, question number one. Hands over buzzers. What is the name of the evil AI in Tron?
MCP.
Very good. Master the MCP, computer, the Master Control Pro. Oh, I should have asked you for extra points. Yeah. What does MCP stand for? Greg Farrow. A point to you. Question two. Which sci-fi author famously encouraged us never to forget our towels. And it's Greg Farrell once again. All right, Greg. I have to push a button here. Okay. And it's Alex Wilhelm.
Douglas Adams.
Absolutely correct, from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
He's from your country.
That's so bad.
Wow.
No, he's from England. Brain freeze.
He's from England. I'm from Australia.
Okay.
Once again, the Vendor Art War. Dead last.
Can't believe I missed it. It's always the VentureBeat alumni, I'm telling you.
Here's your chance to catch up with question three. Who is the only U.S. president to have received a U.S. patent?
Do we lose points if we're wrong?
No. Guess.
Andrew Jackson.
Alex Wilhelm, that is incorrect.
Oh, well. Abraham Lincoln.
That is absolutely right. Greg Farrell. Abraham Lincoln invented a technique to lift boats over shoals and obstructions in a river, applied for a patent, and did, in fact, have a patent, the only U.S. president to do so. Greg Farrell, another 20 points.
Very nice.
Was that a guess?
Yes.
I'm impressed.
I actually remembered vaguely that there might have been something like that.
I would have thought Jimmy Carter, maybe one of the more technocratic presidents, Abraham Lincoln.
Wasn't confident enough to go forward with the first.
No one thought of George W. Bush, shockingly. Oh, sorry, that was a cheap one.
He has no patents in his name. Question four, ladies and gentlemen. Position your hands properly. In what Carl Sagan novel were scientists able to unravel enough of the number pi to find hidden messages from the creators of the human race? All you really have to know in this is Carl Sagan novel, frankly, because there aren't that many.
If you said Isaac Asimov novel, I had a shot here.
Sagan novel. Anybody?
Nope.
Want to take a guess? Devendra, take a guess.
Contact.
Contact is absolutely right. Devendra Hardawar finally gets on the board. Well, so now it looks like it's a tie for last place. That's one way to put it. Between Alex and Devendra, we'll Greg Farrow in the lead, 20-10, and we're ready for question number five. In which year was the very first iPhone released? Devendra Hardawar.
2007.
That's right. This is exciting. Alex, you're in the last place, but it's easy to catch up right now. One correct answer will do so for question six. In cryptography and computer security, what is the form of attack where an attacker secretly relays and possibly alters communication between two parties who believe they are directly communicating with
Man
one another?
Greg
Farrow. Man in the middle is absolutely right. 10 points to Greg, who is now in a clear lead. Devendra Hardawar second, Alex Wilhelm third. Time for our seventh question. What is the only planet in our solar system whose name does not derive from ancient Greek or Roman mythology? Greg Farrell.
Earth
is absolutely correct. Greg Farrell is pulling away, ladies and gentlemen.
I actually knew that one.
Yep.
That's actually a really surprising, but of course, it makes a lot of sense, unless you call it Terra, in which case.
Yes. I was actually tossing up whether to say to Earth or Terra, because Terra is actually the Greek root.
Yeah. Mattel launched which video game system in 1980? Greg Farrell. Say again?
The Power Glove?
That is incorrect. I'm going to lock you out, and you two can... Yes, Devendra Hardawar.
Coleco?
That is also incorrect.
I have no idea.
The answer is in television.
That's what I was... Something vision.
All right. This is a tough one. Gird yourselves. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
That's a reference.
Greg African Harris. Or European?
Absolutely the right answer. I don't know how you knew that, but you did.
There you go. That's my university education.
Oh, my gosh.
Right there.
Yeah. All right. Get ready, okay? How many bits in a nibble? Greg Farrell.
4 bits.
Packet pusher, obviously.
Why didn't you just ask him his middle name next?
All right.
What was your first drop, Greg?
This is turning into a blowout. You're going to know this one. Which computer did Commodore release in 1977?
I only have one answer to this one. I'll just go first.
Yeah.
Is it the Commodore 64?
No, it is not the Commodore 64. Next. You only have a few choices, really.
That's true.
Go with Commodore 74.
Go ahead.
ColecoVision?
Devendra Hardawar, ColecoVision.
Sure. Yeah. There you go.
Greg Farrell.
PC 64?
No, it was the Commodore PET.
What? Of course.
Remember when you call us esteemed tech people and then this is happening
not
now?
Not so much.
I think we've really lost
it. Did it? Now, I'm going to guess here, but I think PET stood for Personal Entertainment Technology. Is that correct? I think it did.
That's as I recall, yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving along.
Because it wasn't a computer, it was personal.
Something a little more modern. Something the kids would know.
Sure.
Alex, this is for you.
Thank you.
What recent game features evil parodies of Chuck E. Cheese animatronics? Devendra Hardwar.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's is absolutely correct. What's your favorite character from Five
I don't
Nights
know. I just watch my younger
exactly
cousins play
that's,
it.
That's how I know, too.
Yeah.
Our kid, Michael, has every character and everything. He loves that game. Yep. It's really an interesting story because this was an independent game by Scott Calvin. He never, you know, wasn't well known. Put this game out. No marketing, no fanfare, but somehow the kids clombed onto it.
Yeah.
And the other day it was a Target, and they're selling Five Nights at Freddy's figurines. I mean, it clearly.
So it's the inverse of No Man's Sky.
Yes. A really great game. Yeah.
Without the hype.
Just really great game. What processor is in the iPhone 7? Alex Wilhelm.
The A10.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll give
I'm
him
still
that.
In last place.
Here we go. Are you ready? Let me reset this. Your hands over the buzzers. In Star Trek II, which you'll remember as the Wrath of Khan, what was the name of the planet on which Khan was marooned? Greg Farrow thinks he knows it.
I know people who wouldn't know this.
It starts with R. Regeneration or something. Is it regeneration?
We're gonna say you're thinking Regulus, but it's SETI Alpha 4.
Yeah, you're, no.
A 5, sorry.
Yeah.
4 was...
That was the other name.
The one they never published.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody answered that one correctly, so we still are at 60, 30, and 20. Greg, Devendra, course. And Alex. Mm. Alex, you're going to have to get in gear here. Fortunately, this is your question.
Oh, no. I've been jinxed.
What popular 1990s virtual reality game featured killer dinosaurs?
I don't know that one. I was very religious at that point in time. We didn't have video games.
No idea.
Virtual reality game in 1990s?
In the 1990s.
Jurassic Park.
I actually played it at SIGGRAPH in 1992. It required a Silicon Graphics workstation to play, and you had a helmet this size and a tail as big as this to carry all the data. It was called Dactyl Nightmare.
Or Oculus 0.5.
Exactly. What was the first commercial optical disc storage medium?
Laserdisc?
Hardware. Yes, exactly right. Also known as DiscoVision.
I love that name.
What?
They should have stuck with that.
Yeah.
It would have been way more successful. It was called DiscoVision.
It was in 1978 and a predecessor to the CD-ROM, which came out 6 years
I lament later. The loss of DiscoVision.
And I think they said this correctly, optical disc storage medium. They did not say digital because it wasn't, in fact, digital. Mm-hmm. It was an analog medium.
That's why it was so large.
Confusing. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Size of an LP.
Are you ready? We only have three more questions.
Oh, good, I lose.
So, Alex.
I'm squalling. Victory. Thank you.
You just, I'm sorry. You could be second place. Why don't you go for second? A silver medal is almost as good as gold.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Here it is. Who coined the term, and I'll give you the year.
We have to reset.
You have to reset the, Christmas tree's
gone. In 1986 is the year. Who coined the term cyberspace?
William Gibson.
Greg Farrow's absolutely right for extra points. Do you remember the book?
Neuromancer.
Neuromancer is correct. That's there actually is some debate over that, but we'll I think that's widely accepted as the correct answer.
Yeah, it's long, though.
It's long.
I know. I look at it, I'm like, I could, but...
Books are long. Yeah.
I don't mind
books
the...
take a while.
You know, someday they'll do books with pictures, and it'll be... All right, two more questions, ladies and gentlemen.
I could be at home right now, but no. I got Leo.
Edward Snowden famously leaked documents shedding light on what clandestine surveillance program by the NSA that collected Devendra Hardwar.
Prism
is absolutely correct. You could pull up into the second place.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this one out. Who was voted president of the internet in Tech Republic's 2009 mock election?
Greg Farrow.
That's correct.
Making him
very happily the winner of the second for the second time. So it's already signed. The crown of knowledge. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Game of Geeks. Everybody, give everybody a big kiss now. I still haven't got him doing that.
Yeah, the old 70s giveaway.
Yeah. That's fun. We have one more round left, right? And thanks to Anthony Nielsen, who wrote most of those questions. Jerry, did you help with those two? Anthony and Karsten Bonney did most of those questions.
Some good questions in there.
Weird questions. Yeah. African or... That was a trick question. That was a good one. hey, before we get to Frederick Van Johnson's segment on his cool new camera bag. I know you're all into this. I want to tell you a little about our cool printer, the Epson EcoTank 4550. We just got one for the house, and we had one for the house, and you just got one for your office, right, Lisa? She loves these. Guess who gets to fill the tank? I don't mind. I love setting these up. The whole idea, EcoTank kind of turns the whole inkjet industry on its head. You know, for years, we always said, oh, yeah, they give away the printer, and they make it up in the ink cartridges. Well, Epson, I think this is very brave. I mean, you want to use the word courage? This is courage. They said, what if we sold a printer that didn't have ink cartridges, that came with 2 years of ink in the box? In the case of the 4550, that's 11,000 pages of black and white text or 8,000 color pages in the box. And then in 2018, when it's time to buy new ink, you go out and you buy bottles, and it's 80% less expensive. What if we did that? Would people go for it? Well, actually, we're a little worried. People would say, no, I want the cheap printer, even though it'll cost me an ink cartridge. No, this has taken off because people get it. They do the math. They go, that's going to save me a lot of money, not to mention a lot of hassle. You know, in the middle, how often does that happen? In the middle of a job. Oh, you ran out of cyan. Oh, man, again? You got to go buy another cartridge. Not with this. This goes and goes and goes. They have a whole range of EcoTank printers. All of them are great multi-function printers. The 4550 has that precision core engine, 40 million drops of ink per second. So you're getting super crisp black and white text. You're getting vivid colors. You're getting fantastic features like no startup time. That's what's great about inkjet printers, right? Dual-sided printing, which is automatic, which saves, I always use that, saves me a lot of paper. And then when it's time for more ink, you save money on the ink too. This is a win-win-win for everybody involved, and I want you to check it out. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank. You can learn more about it, the whole range of EcoTank printers, including the big daddy, the big workforce printer for offices. I think that's got 20,000 pages of ink in the box. EcoTank.com. Epson, exceed your vision. Frederick Van Johnson has a peek at his newest camera bag. Take a look.
Hey guys, I'm Frederick Van Johnson from ThisWeekInPhoto.com. Today I want to tell you about my favorite camera bag. That's this one. It's from a company called Peak Design. This is the Everyday Messenger. Peak Design launched a Kickstarter campaign, a record-shattering Kickstarter campaign last year, and they generated a lot of money, seven figures worth of money and donations for this camera bag from people that wanted it. However, they got a lot of response from people saying, yeah, I love the camera bag, but it's a little bit too big. That was the 15-inch model. They've recently released this one, which is the 13-inch model, which is even better for me. So you can carry this everywhere. I think they designed this specifically for people with smaller cameras, mirrorless, you know, a couple lenses. In this bag right now, I won't unpack it, but in this bag right now is a Micro Four Thirds camera, four lenses, a 13-inch MacBook Pro, a full-size iPad Pro, audio recording gear, including all microphones, SD cards, extra batteries. I think I have three extra batteries, and a couple of other bits and baubles are all in this little bag, which just goes over my shoulder. I'm good to go for almost any situation. So check it out. It's called the Everyday Messenger. It's from a company called Peak Design. My name is Frederick Van Johnson. You can check me out at thisweekinphoto.com.
And Frederick will be our guest host next week. Ron, it's been great having you.
Filling this chair.
Ron Richards.
Thanks.
Going back to New York?
I'm
going to
be in the Bay Area for a little bit and then head back to New York next week.
So. We love having you around.
Yeah, I'll be.
Will you be in studio?
I will be in studio
All
on Tuesday.
Android
Tuesday. Yeah, reunited with Jason and Flo. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so, you could show them your red. Yeah. Did you get a red Robin?
I didn't get a red Robin, unfortunately. But I can't justify spending $300 on a cosmetic change. But love that phone.
You like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Hey, it's time for the mailbag, and we're going to do something a little different. But first of all, roll me the mail bag, whatever it is. And I always like to look what's inside because they always put something exciting and different inside. No idea what that is? Do you have any idea? I know what it is, yeah. I'm just wondering if you know what that is. Do you know what that is?
I know what it is, but I was here when they were talking
about it. It was the dot on the I on our old sign when we moved out of the brick house. But guess what? We're going back to the brick house. No, we're not. I wish we were. We're not going back to the brick house. You know why? It's a dump.
Yep.
But but the sign is here, and it's going to go back on the side there, so you can find to it. So I'll put the dot back on the sign, so it'll be ready to go.
There you go.
As soon as As soon as we get that sign up, that's going
to have the sign. You got to know where to deliver the mail.
Well, when you got here, did you like? Were you wondering where?
Well, I knew the address, so that helped.
Yeah,
so that,
but we don't have any signage.
Yeah, but the signage would help.
Yeah. Our first question in the mailbag actually is a call from Richard. He's in Nottingham, England. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Give our regards to the sheriff. I'm sure you've heard that once or twice. Actually, are you near Sherwood Forest?
Yeah, about probably 6 miles. Yeah.
I remember as a kid in 1967, I went there. And, of course, Robin Hood is a fictional character. Sure. But they have a tree that say was Robin Hood's tree, right?
It's the major oak, and it's supported now by props and looking very old.
It does. I mean, it's a giant, massive oak tree. It's a beautiful tree. Anyway, what can we do for you, Richard?
Well, I've got to say, great fan of the show.
Thank you.
I listen to most of your shows and pass them on to the kids that I work with. My particular problem and advice I need, I used to be really into comics when I was...
He's wearing a Marvel T-shirt.
Yeah,
you're still into comics,
dude. He dressed appropriately here. Yeah.
I used to be into comics, but then I grew up and got a full-time job and kids. But now I find myself, I've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and a house full of devices, Android and Windows 10 and Chromecast. I'd love to get back into the medium and share this with them. But I'd like to know, I know Ron's an expert, I listened to the iFanboy, I think it was episode 544 about Daredevil, which inspired me, and I've got to get back into this.
Thank you.
Welcome. So what can you recommend in terms of apps or software that...
Just happens, isn't it? This guy used to work in the comic book industry.
Yes,
right?
luckily, and as you mentioned, I do another podcast called iFanboy, which can be found at iFanboy.com.
Now, we don't call them comics anymore. They're graphic novels.
No, we still call them comics.
Oh, okay.
So a single issue, the 20 to 22 page pamphlet that you buy at the drugstore, that's a comic book. That will always be a comic book.
It has
book.
To be.
Yeah. The collected hardcover or paperback that you put in a shelf, that's a graphic novel.
Yeah, I bought the Frank Miller Dark Knight when that came out, and I just love that.
It's good stuff.
And there is something to be said for turning the pages.
Although, as someone who just moved cross-country, let me tell you, when you got to pack them up, I think the count was over 120 boxes of either comic issues or paperbacks or hardcovers. It was a nightmare. But, so comics have embraced the digital age. And so luckily there's a couple great options that you can do. The first and foremost and the simplest one is there's a company called Comixology.
Love them.
Which, they have an app. Amazon bought them a couple years ago. They've got all the major publishers that are publishing comics to them. They've got comic issues, graphic novels.
I thought for a while like Marvel was going to go its own way.
So Marvel and DC have their own apps, but they're powered by Comixology.
So you can still buy Marvel and DC comics inside Comixology.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And Marvel actually, what's really interesting is that, because the thing is that they're priced the same way as the comic book store. So if you go to a comic book store and buy a new issue, it's $2.99. You go to Comixology, it's still $2.99 or $3.99 these days, $4.99 even these days. But Marvel does have an all-you-can-eat Netflix model called Marvel Digital Unlimited.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, so if you don't mind getting the current comics 6 months after they come out, you pay one price and you consume as much
How
as you
much
want.
How much is that a month?
I think it's, I don't subscribe to it, but I think it's like maybe $7.99 a month or something.
So if you were going to buy 2 or 3 books a month, this would be a better deal.
Yeah, totally.
As long as you don't mind not having the latest.
Right.
But
I
feel like comic books, a lot of what comic books are is not the latest one,
but
going back and reading an entire series.
Reading the full story.
Yeah.
So now the other answer I wanted to give, because you mentioned you have Chromecast, which got me very excited because I'm a big Chromecast, and you want to read your comics on your TV, which is cool.
What?
Right?
You could do that?
Well, yeah. So here's a little hack. Here's a little trick. First off, not many people realize this or know, but in the Google Play Store, in the book section, all the major comic book publishers publish both issues and graphic novels to the Google Play Store. So if you're already an Android user and you're using the Google Play Store, if you get free credits, remember when you use Android Pay, you get Google Play credits and things like that, it's a great way to spend those credits to buy comics, and you can read them via their own reader, which is really no different than the Comixology reader. But now
on the TV.
But if you've got Chromecast, here's the trick: you connect your browser to the Chromecast.
Sure.
Go full screen, and you've got comics
you can just
you use the mouse or the keyboard to navigate, and it's a great option for reading comics on a big screen. It's great to see the art up there. So that's something I like to do sometimes.
What comics do you like to read, Richard?
Well, in the old days, it used to be V for Vendetta. And
That's really a graphic novel, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's more adult and more. Yeah.
But I used to collect Daredevil, which is why the hook for iFanboy got me thinking for my kids. And I'd just like to sit there with them and just talk about it, about the story and the graphics and
how
what
old
they can infer.
How old are
it.
Your kids?
6 and 4, Penny and Max.
You might want to wait about 10 years for Daredevil, possibly. I mean, that's just me. I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But there's a lot of a lot of violence.
That's a pretty adult. Yeah, I watched the movie and I was like, wow, that's very
the
adult.
Netflix series and stuff like that. But there's a lot of great kids stuff and there's a lot of great kids comics that are more age appropriate, maybe.
Does Comixology, is there a standard format so you could buy comics somewhere else and open them in Comixology? No. There ought to be. It ought to be like the Kindle where you have a Mobi format for comics.
There is an open format called CBR or CBZ, which is just a container.
I have a bunch of French comics in CBZ.
Exactly, but they don't work. Comixology, they smartly sided with the publishers and made it so you can't upload your own comics or pull any comics out of it.
So piracy is the issue.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. Hey, Richard, what a great question. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for listening. Now, where do we find that podcast?
Yeah, go to ifanboy.com. And if you have more questions, you can write to me, Ron, at ifanboy.com, and I'll be happy to give you more direct answers. So,
thank you, guys. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Cheers, as they say in Nottingham. What would you recommend? I haven't read comics since I was a kid. And my dad was big into Batman. I read old Batman.
Yep.
We had like the original 30s Batman.
Oh, wow.
And I loved that. Stuff, and then, as I said, I got the Dark Knight because I was a Batman fan. And I love what Frank Miller did. I have, because I'm a fan of Neil Gaiman's, I have the complete set of
Sandman.
Yep. That was a beautiful set they sold.
Well,
but what should I read?
Two things. If you like Batman, the most recent run on Batman that just wrapped up, written by Scott Snyder with art by Greg Capullo, a 52-issue run of a contained 5 years of Batman stories. Anything from there, he did a lot of stuff with the Joker and stuff like that. That's some of the best Batman in years.
Okay.
But I know you like science fiction.
I do.
There's a book called Saga.
Saga.
Which is written by Brian K. Vaughan with art by Fiona Staples. And that is, it's basically Star Wars meets Romeo and Juliet, but way better than either of them.
All right.
So, that's one of the best comics being published right now. Yeah,
I'll
Saga.
Check that
so,
out.
Yeah.
And then I can get all of those in Comixology.
Yeah. Just read the first volume of Saga, and $5 says you'll be hooked. So.
And it'll cost me more than $5 just to read it, though.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm not taking that bet.
Yep.
We got another question. This comes from Scott. When you discussed the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 battery problem, it was said that quick charging shortens the life of the battery. Would it extend the life of the battery if standard USB chargers were used instead? This would be great for me since I charge the phone overnight and I would save the quick charger for times I really need it. Battery chemistry is the kind of thing that you can get in fist fights over.
Yep.
And I have talked to a lot of battery engineers. In fact, we had somebody recently who was in the studio for a Twitch show, and afterwards, we didn't record it, I'm sorry to say, but people who stuck around saw it. Mm. We had a long conversation. He said the thing that kills batteries is heat.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons if you have batteries and you want to keep them for a while, you store them in the fridge, and that will actually preserve them longer.
Cool. Yep.
He said, don't park your Tesla in the sun. That's bad for the batteries. He said, but the point is, nowadays, with quick charging, yes, that's bad for batteries, but no phone company expects you to keep your phone for more than 2 years, so they're not really worried about the longevity of the battery. If you are, yes, slow charging's better. If you feel your phone getting hot, stop whatever you're doing. That's not good. Don't keep it in the freezer or fridge. That's, you got to seal it and all that. But it is a good idea to keep it from getting too hot. And quick charging definitely heats up that battery.
Yeah, but I thought that once with the quick charging, there's enough smarts in the phone and the battery to know once the battery's at capacity to stop the charge.
Oh, before
then.
In fact, you'll notice quick charging, the first half is very quick, and it slows down. It slows down a lot. By the time it's almost full, it's taking a really long time.
Yeah,
and that's partly to preserve the battery.
Right.
But slow charging in general, if you have the time and the luxury, is absolutely better for the battery. It'll preserve it. And use quick charging, just as you say, Scott, when you need a quick charge.
It's probably good for the overnight. If you're getting your good 8 hours of sleep, plug in that standard connector, and then you're better off.
Unless you're going to get a new phone in every few years, which I think most people do now. in which case you'll be gone. The phone will be gone before it makes a difference.
I got to tell you, the quick charging has changed my life. I mean, like
it's so convenient.
It's so. I mean, like the years of dealing with, you know, you want to get through the day, a 16-hour, 18-hour day, and the battery's running down. You got to charge it. The fact that I can plug it into a battery that supports quick charge in my bag, and in 20 minutes be back up over 70%. That's great.
So, now, people who have Apple phones are saying, "What are they talking? Quick charging?" Because iPhones don't support quick charging. They actually charge fairly slowly. But a really good tip is it really depends on the wattage of the charger. You can use an iPad charger or even your, you can use a higher, let's put it this way, a higher wattage charger, like a quick charger, on your iPhone. And the iPhone will handle it. It's not going to, you know, break it. But it will charge faster with a higher wattage charger like the 11 or 12 watt iPad
and
charger.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that the combination of the brick that's doing the charging plus the cable to the phone.
All of that's relevant.
And on the Android side of things, there's a great app called Ampere, A-M-P-E-R-E, that will allow you to identify whether you've got a good cable and a good brick or not.
Oh, that's great.
And kind of give you more information about the pieces that are charging your phone, so you make sure you've got the best. So for years I was charging, I've got all those little black bricks and USB cables and whatever.
Yeah.
And I was using one from an old phone with a newer cable and whatever, and I actually do more damage to my battery by charging that way.
Interesting.
So Ampere helped me. Yeah, there's Ampere. It helped me find out.
I'll download it.
Yeah, that's a great app.
That's a great tip. That's the kind of tip you get on All About Android every Tuesday about 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Fun times.
Midnight UTC if you want to watch, and you'll be in studio.
I will be in
Tuesday.
Studio, yeah. Florence Ion will be back. She was off covering events last week, and of course with Jason Howell, and it's 5 years of doing that show. It's crazy.
Has it been that long?
We're on episode 250 something. Yeah, it's crazy. So, and we're in a heated battle in the app arena this year.
Oh yeah, what's your app?
Well, no, in the standings
for the year,
we keep track. So every episode, we each bring an app, and our guest brings an app, and we allow the community to vote who's going
to
win.
It's a great way to find out about the best apps.
And currently, right now, for the first time ever, the guests as a group are winning. Which has never happened.
Shocking.
So,
shocking.
Yeah, it's fun.
So Flo, Ron, and Jason are going to have to step up.
Got to step it up.
Hey, we had a great time. I hope you like. We're just trying this out. What do you think? I kind of like this new mailbag set here. It's very comfy. We brought out two Dr. Evil chairs. This is the first time ever, Ron, that we've allowed somebody, not me, to sit in a Dr. Evil chair.
I feel very special.
Okay, let's do this. Spin around all the way, and then come around with your fingers steepled. And we
like that. All right.
Let's just see if we can do that. Okay, ready? One, two, three. We brought you here for a reason. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.
Good job.